In this episode, I answer a student's question about trusting the program she's in when it doesn't seem to be working for her horse. So here we go, episode 266, Ask Karen Anything, Program Mismatch. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. Hello again, lovely listeners. I am back answering another student question. And again, in the show notes, you can find a link to where you can also record a question if you'd like me to play it and address it on this podcast. Okay, so this one I chose because I think it's also related to a very common student problem that if you're in a program or you're trying to find people to study with, and I think this is true whether you're doing in person or you're doing it online, but you try your hardest to choose a program or a teacher that seems like they're a good match, everything sounds really good, then you get in there and things aren't working, and that can feel really confusing. Like, are you just not doing it right? Or maybe they aren't really walking their talk or something like that. So anyway, I think we'll start. I'll just play the question and then I will discuss after that.
Hi, Karen. It's Mary Lou Coleman. I would like you to discuss the potential pitfalls of succumbing to the notion that because something is labeled natural horsemanship, that it's inherently better for horses than traditional training. I found myself falling into that trap. And then I began to realize that, at least for me, how I perceive things, some natural horsemanship programs out there are just really good at getting horses to be obedient or obliging. Now, they go about it in a much nicer way than a lot of traditional training techniques. But that might be actually part of the danger, is that you can think you're doing something wonderful for your horse when you're really not. And I'm having that experience now with one program that I've been following with my once-in-a-lifetime horse, a highly sensitive, very talented, very opinionated PRE mare, and she just is chafing under it. I think it is too much asking her to do stuff and be somebody that she is not, even if it's very nicely and politely done. So that's what I would love to hear you address. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you, Mary Lou, for your clear description of the situation and for your honesty. I don't think you're alone in feeling sometimes lost in a program or with a teacher. If things, it seems like it should work. It seems like a good idea, but it's just not working for whatever reason. So similarly to the how I handled it in the last episode, I'll share with everybody just the words that I jotted down as I was listening to Mary Lou, do this recording, and what sort of jumped out at me. But she used the word succumbing in the beginning, so I wrote that down because it's a pretty heavy word, right? So it feels very helpless, and it's like you're giving up. It's a very somebody has gotten you to give up something, and you just you're succumbing to it. I guess I should have looked up the definition of that. Do, 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 do. Okay, I'm back. I just looked up the word succumb. So it means to yield, surrender, or cease resisting an overpowering force, desire, or illness. And it says it usually implies giving in to something you originally tried to fight off. And so I'm not doing this to nitpick your guys' words and make you feel afraid to send me questions. But I'm just doing it in the spirit of, wow, that was a big, heavy word. And it's a window into, you know, in this 90-second recording to how much information I can glean from it. So that's the spirit of why I'm looking at that. So, okay. Other things that I jotted down. She used the word label, right? So she's succumbing to this idea that just because something's labeled one way, it might not be that way. And targeting natural horsemanship versus traditional. So I wrote that down. And I wrote down the word inherently, right? So yeah, anyway, I just jotted that down. We'll talk about that in a minute. She also used the word trap. She fell into the trap, she's concerned that other people don't fall into this trap. So succumbing, trap, some heavy language. And so it just, again, I'm feeling what Mary Lou perhaps is feeling. Also use the words obedient and obliging in a negative way. That, you know, gives me a little picture. I wrote down the word nicer and I put it in quotes, right? So there's this trap that, you know, it seems like it's done in a nicer way, but maybe the results aren't leading you. You can very nicely lure a child into the car to abduct them. I didn't mean to bring up something yucky, but right. There's nice ways to do not nice things. She used the word danger and, yeah, her horse is chafing and worried that about the horse being asked to be somebody she's not, right? So that's an interesting way to observe and relate your horse, you know, that to value who the horse is as an individual, right? And to value that in ourselves, right? Who we are as individuals. And it's often not such a nice thing to be asked to be somebody that you're not. Anyway, so it gives me a better guess as to what's important to Mary Lou and why, how things feel, and maybe a little bit why they don't feel like that. And I'm sensing a little bit of a trust thing. It's like, I thought it was going to be one way, but it's not. And that can really connect to very deep, deep feelings. So the bottom line is something's not working, right? Okay, so if we boil it down to the what is happening, we get past all that and try to get to the grit of it. It's like something's not working. Something in the program is not working. So I talk a lot about principles and priorities. I recently did a live workshop inside the video classroom about this. The recording of that I'll leave in the show notes. It's a video inside the classroom. You can look at episodes of this podcast, episode 57 and episode 186, where, you know, I talk about principles and priorities. It's in my book. It's on my website. I'm sure that it is sprinkled in to lots of other episodes that I've done. So if you've been listening, you know how important principles and priorities are. And the reason for that is because it gets to the core of who we are and what we're trying to do, and it provides the guardrails within a program. And often I'll say, you know, there's lots of systems and techniques that can work. And when they work, it's great. If, you know, but the real measure of a system for me is how is it handled when things are not going well or easily for the student or the horse. That's when you really see the truth of a system. Now, labels, program names, branding, marketing. I mean, this is always going to be insufficient. So, and it's a, you know, in this world, you know, we have to somehow take a body of knowledge and bring it into like three words, right? And choose the right font that's going to, you know, match that. So the words are always going to be insufficient. The labels are always going to be insufficient. They can get us close, right? So something that says heartfelt harmony, this and that, you know, you can look at my branding. I mean, it gets us close, but I'm going to guess that my label, Dressage Naturally, doesn't really describe the magnificence of everything that I do and teach. I know it doesn't. Not in any way. Anyway, but it's the label I chose a while ago, and there you are. So, but, you know, there's also lots of words and language that attach. And one of the biggest compliments that I, you know, to me, the compliments that are important to me that really make me feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside is when people say that when they meet me and they watch me, that I walk my talk. So that makes me happy, because that's not easy to do. I also know I'm not going to 100% walk my talk, because how else do we learn except by making mistakes and going, ugh, okay, I can do it better next time. So there's that. I think sometimes the, you know, through very innocent means, words, you know, words, actions might not match the words, just because it's life. And there's lots of different, you know, individuals in that life and situations. And, you know, I talk a lot about harmony. It doesn't mean that every single moment is harmonious. It just means that I'm prioritizing finding harmony, that that's what I'm going to aim for. And that's always the priority. It doesn't mean that it's always harmonious. So there's a certain degree of like describing the experience as best as we can, sticking a label on it. Then we have to think of, well, I use this word. What's somebody else going to think about this word? I mean, what does somebody think when I say dressage? Well, there's a lot of different pictures that pop up in people's heads that they might be thinking that that's what I mean when I say dressage or natural horsemanship. You say natural horsemanship, there's a lot of different pictures that are going to come up and situations and, you know, good, bad, ugly, different. It's insufficient. So I think we have to all be discerning, and we say, okay, the label and the name of it and the category that we're kind of putting it in gets us maybe in a ballpark that's different than some other ballpark, but there's a lot more to it. And we just have to know that that's just the reality of life here. It's never going to fit. No program or person is going to fit neatly in a package. It's just kind of, you know, if you want to go visit somebody across the country, you got to know what state they're in. I mean, or just know, are you on the West Coast or are you on the East Coast? West Coast, okay, I'll start heading west. That's not enough information, right? Then we need which state they're in. Oh, you're in Washington State. Okay, now I know I need to head, you know, we're going to be in the Northwest. And so then we get more and more refined, and pretty soon we get there, and hopefully it's where we want to arrive to. But some of these big labels, traditional, what does that even mean these days? Natural horsemanship, what does that even mean? However, Mary Lou, you are correct. More and more, like a few decades ago, a lot of the language in natural horsemanship was very oppositional traditional. It was like natural horsemanship was this and traditional was that. And I never liked that language, because like traditional, like there's a wide range inside of quote unquote traditional. It's just not helpful, but there was a lot of marketing about this is mean and cruel and this other is the nice. I mean, I was right smack in the middle of all that, right? This is mean, this is nice. But I knew, like, I was a traditional dressage trainer and I knew I was not mean or forceful or horrible. I was nice, right? And I also knew that I had seen a lot of pretty horrific things happen to horses under quote unquote the natural horsemanship label. So I think I never really bought into those labels because I just knew it wasn't the kind of conversation I wanted to be having. I'm just about here's stuff that helps and we all need to know it. Anyway, so I think that's really helpful moving forward that we use the labels as pointers to get us kind of in the right ballpark, that we know we're going to go to the West Coast, not the East Coast. You know, we're going to not use maybe drawings and sharp bits over here. We're going to aim towards the, like, maybe slightly more comfortable equipment over here, but it's definitely not enough information. So use and see labels for what they are. They're just little signposts, but we need more information. We need the state, we need the county, we need the town, we need the village, we need the road, we need the house number. And a lot of things can change as you get down to that detail, right? So even within a certain program, there's different individuals inside that program. One teacher of the same program can be wildly different than another teacher in the program. One student can excel with one individual and not with another. One horse can excel with one individual and not with another because the particular individual has some specific information that's like, oh, I'm used to being with horses like that. I know this type. I can help. Where the other one, equally as qualified or knowledgeable or talented, might miss the mark. And so it's not about natural horsemanship being bad or good or nice or not nice. It's not about traditional being good or bad or nice or not nice. It's about matching what you need and what your horse needs with what you want to learn, and then who is able to teach it to you. And we all need to advocate for ourselves. And along that process, because I'm always, whenever I talk about things like this, I can sort of wear two hats. I can be the student advocate, and then I can be the experienced teacher. Because I've had students come to me and saying what they want to learn, but then I'm looking at it from the teacher point of view, thinking, that's what you want, but I don't think that's what you need from my experienced point of view. But in that case, if a student says what they want, and then the teacher is saying, no, what you need is something completely different, and we need to do it this way, then that teacher ought to be able to explain it to you logically in a way that makes sense, that creates a buy-in. Not a buy-in because what they do is in this big bucket and implied it in that is that inherently everything we do because we're in this bucket is nice and good. No, because it needs to make sense for you and this horse and why this lesson needs to be done to get as a stepping stone to this next step, and that will lead you to what you are ultimately wanting with your horse. And I mean, a trained professional instructor or trainer ought to be able to explain that to you so that you have buy-in. If the student's going to be involved in this process at all, the student has to have buy-in or it won't work, in my opinion, because I don't teach in a way that demands, to use Mary Lou's words, obedience and obligingness. Like, I want my students to be actively participating, understand, know the purpose, know the deal. And yeah, sometimes I might have to do a little bit more. Sometimes their techniques might not be up to snuff, but we all know what we're trying to do. And hopefully we're doing it in a way that has progress. If there's too much friction, meaning it's like we're trying to do and it's not working, or we're trying to do it but the student doesn't agree with it, it's not going to work. You can't do a technique you don't agree with. You might be skeptical and go, all right, this doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm going to give it a try because I get the lot, like I can see your logic, but let's try it. And if it works, we'll keep doing it. If it doesn't, we stop. That's healthy. Right? So when things are not working, we need to be able to articulate it. And I think about, all right, if something's happening and it was sold as a nice program and it's not feeling nice, and there's signs that it's not working, right? Okay, you said your horse is really chafing and being forced to be someone she's not. Then we can go, okay, well, what are we seeing? All right, is the horse coming harder to catch? Is it showing pain behaviors? Is it getting more aggressive? Is the progress reversing? You know, is the horse not offering things that it already has learned how to do? Like, what are the tangible things you can put on the list? And then you go, here's my evidence that this is not working. Right? The horse is becoming more tense and more agitated. I'm losing my confidence. Right? So it's really good to make lists like that, because sometimes there's, you know, challenging moments in training. Sometimes things get a little bit seemingly worse before they get better when you start addressing some deeper things. And sometimes you'll make that list and you go, okay, here's the tension and the negatives I see popping up. But oh, look, there's a list of like other things that are actually working much better now. So you can say, okay, there's some things have gone in this direction, but all these other things have gone in this direction in the positive. And then you can, if it's confusing to you, you should be able to bring that to your teacher and say, I'm seeing this, this, and this, but I'm also seeing this, this, and this. And then the teacher should be able to look at it and explain. It's like, okay, this is really normal. Often when we change this kind of pattern, we get the initial results, but for a little while, the horse seems a little bit fill in the blank negative thing. We need to keep going and we should start to see that turn around. Let's give it another 10 days or something like that. Like, it should be a project that we're looking at together. But if you look at that list and you see, oh, there's only things that are changing are things that are heading into the negative list bucket and nothing's heading into the positive list bucket, then we got a problem, right? It's either not the right techniques for this particular issue or horse or student. Or it could be the right technique, but it's being taught really poorly. Like, it's like a good idea. It's just not being taught well. It could be the right technique. It could be being taught well or correctly, but it's not being executed well by the student. Like, that's where the disconnect is. That's an option. Or it could be a technique that's working, but it's leading. It's a technique for a goal that the student doesn't want. That happens a lot. Like, thank you for training my horse to do this. That's not what I want to do. Thank you for teaching my horse to rear. I do not want my horse to rear. Right? So, well-executed technique for something that wasn't desired. So that's a short list of things that I would be looking at, because Mary Lou, like the way you phrased it, like there's a lot of this like trust, and I thought it was going to be this, but it's actually that. And the more you can create the evidence so it's not a struggle, like it sounds like it's you want it to be clear. So you just go, oh, not this one, time to change. Right? So this should be easy, right? It should be easy. Like, I'm trying this. Whoop, that's not working. Here's my evidence. Let's not do that anymore. And whether it's under a label, like for me, that I don't really think that way because I'm just thinking, what's this teacher got? What are they teaching? Is it working for me? You know, no. And the next person that might help you might also call themselves the same label as that person or not. They might call themselves Purple or Fred. Who cares? use the marketing again to get in the basic ballpark, but you need to now, you know, the stuff you're talking about, Mary Lou, is deeper stuff. Like it has to feel right for you on the inside. I think that is the reality in hearing your language. It needs to feel right for you on the inside. And I think a lot of people listening feel the same if you're here on my podcast, because this is the sort of stuff I talk about. So what do? We do our best to look into the system or the teacher or whoever it is you're deciding to put your hand, you know, put yourself in their hands. Episode 5 of this podcast is, and that's how important it was, it was the 5th podcast I ever recorded, it was called How to Find Your Teacher. I think I have a blog about that too. But that's a really good one to listen to. So you do your best to find your teacher, you know your own principles and priorities, you try your best to discover the principles and priorities of the system. Don't just blindly follow something because it's labeled or marketed a certain way. But really look, talk to the students, observe, and then you give it a try. And you ask questions so that you can understand what you're signing up for and you can feel good about it. And then you do your best. And if something doesn't feel right, I think it's really important that students ask questions. I'm seeing this happen. Why is this happening? What do we need to do to have this not happen? So if you don't like the answer that you get when you ask, or if you're just not getting results, then you just go back to the drawing board. I think every teacher will come, and teacher and trainer will come across a student or a horse that's more of a puzzle, or where things just don't connect to the way they teach or their experience. And I mean, I learned that a long time ago, and I learned to call it when it happens. And I am so much quicker now to state when things aren't working. Like, I'll state it before the student states it. And sometimes it's just, I can't figure out the horse. You know, there's horses I meet, I'm like, you know, I'm doing everything I think that needs to be done, and it just doesn't seem to be working. Maybe I'm not the best one. I think maybe we need somebody to get different eyes on this. It's just not, I'm not figuring it out. And I've done that with students too. There's been students where I just don't connect with them. And I don't feel like I'm making progress. And I'll say the same thing. Like, I don't think I'm the right teacher for you. And so students, you know, I think that's up to instructors to do that. And it's perfectly fine for a student to do that. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. A lot of times I'll see students getting stuck or lost or feeling let down by a program or a system because they don't have a clear enough picture of what they really want to create. So this would be something to think about. Like, knowledge and technique can only be, quote unquote, applied to the student to a point, right? So there's a certain degree of learning and progress that can happen if you show up and you're like, I'm showing up to this program and I'm just going to let you apply stuff to me and then it's all going to magically work. Like, to a point, that can happen. Like, just go in, do these things, I promise things will get better. And that can happen even if the student's slightly skeptical or even resistant. Like, that's what happened to me with natural horsemanship. I was really skeptical and even mildly resistant at some times. And it worked anyway. I just showed up and they applied this stuff to me. And I just like did the things they said and it worked. So that worked to a point. That hooked me in. But at some point, you've got to be invested as a student. And you've got to be invested enough that you allow the teaching to go through you and integrate into you. So doing a program while you're not feeling good about it and resistant to it or highly skeptical of it won't work past a point. So when you don't trust the system enough, that's the time to change. Or, and this is something that I was able to do in my journey, like if you're confident enough a student with your abilities and you're strong enough in your own base, then you can have this base way of doing and being with a horse. And if you have enough independence and confidence, you can maintain that while you drop into another program to glean some of their techniques without having to be all in. And so that's really what I did when I started doing natural horsemanship. There was a lot of stuff that I saw, quote unquote, big label natural horsemanship people doing that I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I don't agree with that. But there's some really cool stuff going on. And I want those pieces, right? So, but I had a huge base. I know it's much, much harder when you're just learning. And and there's a lot of people who want to be obedient students and just show up and do all the steps that are laid out. And if there's step one, step two, step three, step four, it's very tempting. Just go, I'm just going to go in the door. I'm going to walk along the conveyor belt and it's just going to happen. And that no matter what system that is, natural horsemanship, traditional, whatever those things mean, Western, English, jumping, like that's, again, it's going to get you in the ballpark. But at some point, you have to have the confidence to be all in. And so a lot of times the question is, what do you need to know to be more invested, to be able to dedicate yourself to it? But if the principles and priorities match, and you're making progress in a program in a way you and your horse like, go with it. Give that system or teacher a chance. I mean, learning is rarely a smooth process, so don't jump ship and bounce to another thing as soon as you have a challenging day. There's always a certain amount of sticking with something and going through the process, but there should be progress, measurable, feelable. And if any teacher gives you cult leader vibes or talks too much about loyalty, I would walk or run the other way. But it's never about you, the student, needing to live up to someone's program or being loyal to any teacher or program. It's about you getting the right kind of help and finding the resources that do help. And then you bring your dedication to that. So bottom line, find what's helpful, build from there, and enjoy yourself. I mean, remember, this is supposed to be fun. And so I'm sure there's people, Mary Lou, that have had very similar experiences to you. You know, you have the right idea, you believe the marketing, and you get in there and then it doesn't go the way you want. And it can feel really violating. It can feel like you've been let down. It could feel like you've been lied to. I think it's tricky being a student out there. I really can feel for everybody who's trying to navigate this. But this keeps coming back to that personal power. What is your dream? You can have harmony with your horse. You can have a relationship with your horse. Go into those principles and priorities and know you can advocate. And then search for the thing that's going to help you. And the thing that might help you, the thing, the program, the person, they might call themselves something really weird. You know, just stay away from things that are opposite of your principles and priorities, but be open to noticing what works and do more of that. I know that sounds really oversimplified, but you might find like the kid down the street just has this little way of rapport and your horse loves that kid and they are able to do this thing that makes you smile and then the horse is happy and because of that you're in harmony and now you're more together and now you can actually do some of the techniques that you've learned from this fancy person. So I think it's a little bit about looking at ourselves. What are we valuing? Are we valuing the big flowery program with the big branding and the hype? Are we valuing the clarity of the connection with the horse and what we really want to feel at the end of all the training? Like, what do we want to feel at the end of this training? So many times we can actually start there. Have that relationship with your horse. Have that connection with your horse. Start there. Find the way that that can happen the best. And then you build and you learn how to do some stuff. Yeah. And you listen to your horse. So I think the good news is, Mary Lou, that you're observing what's not working. Think to yourself, what has worked in the past? Where has the progress come from? Where have you seen the glimmers of joy and connection? Where has your horse been happiest? Where have she shown you that, like, oh, that feels better? And do more of that. Don't worry what it's called. Don't worry about the labels. Just you and your horse. That's what counts.
If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.